Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 2nd of February 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week was a very special week as we had the induction service for our new minister in training, Richard Hall. But also Paul continued our series looking at prayer with answers to prayer, and the reading is Luke chapter 11 verses 1 to 13. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the sermon, and then Richard's induction will happen after the sermon.
Friends, this morning we're going to read from Scripture, from Luke's Gospel, from chapter 11. There are several ways we engage with Scripture, of course. I know a couple of folk giving you a bit of time and looking up Luke 11 on Bible Gateway, or many other websites are available. Or alternatively, you can read the screen behind me. Or you can be revolutionary this morning. You can forget the screen and forget your device and shut your eyes and do something revolutionary. For the early church first heard the word of the Lord rather than read the word of the Lord. It's your choice. But I invite you, friends, to engage in Scripture. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add his own understanding to that reading from his word. Richard, whether you knew it or not, friend, you have already been an answer to the prayers of this church. And I'm about to prove it. Because it's Richard's induction as a minister among us this morning, friends, we have got a shorter sermon than normal. See, I told you, you're already an answer to prayer. I'm not sure that's true, but you know what I mean, my friend. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at prayer. Well, we started, didn't we, a few weeks ago, by looking at this passage. And that time, we looked at those first 4 verses of Luke chapter 11. We're looking at the same passage again today, but concentrating mainly on the passage that starts at verse 5 with those words, "Then Jesus said to them." Friends, I don't know if you are like me. I have one son. Incidentally, this is not him, but it could have been him. The story is told of a little boy who'd been misbehaving. That looks like a misbehaving little boy to me. And the little boy was sent to his room and told by his mum, "You need to contemplate what you've done." After a while, the little boy emerged and he said that he had thought everything over and he realized that he needed to pray to God. And so that's what he'd done. His mum was delighted. "That's wonderful," said a very pleased parent. If you ask God to help you, he will. He will help you so that you don't misbehave again. And the little boy said to her, "Oh no, you missed the point. I did pray to God, but not to help me to misbehave, but I asked God to help you to put up with me." And the reality is, friends, like this story, sometimes our prayers are that way around, aren't they? We try and make prayer a way of kind of coaxing God into granting our highest expectations, which, let's be honest, are often to our greatest benefit. Truth to tell, we really want God to give us what we want rather than what he will. It's like we find a way of addressing God as if somehow he's blind to our needs and we need to help him along, kind of enlighten him a bit. And bluntly, if you don't pray like that, at least sometime in your life, can you come and tell me how to stop doing it in mine? Because sometimes we can all be a bit like that. We need to remember what prayer is and what prayer is not, because the reality of prayer is really different. Prayer has never been a kind of top-down conversation. In other words, a lopsided event. It's never been about a one-sided relationship where we, the created, try and control the creator. Neither was prayer meant to be only the expressions on our wish list, no matter how great and grandiose and wonderful our wish list is. I'm going to ask Paul if he'll move this on for me, because for some reason I can't pull in, I'm sorry. It was not meant to be that way. And I'll tell you something else that prayer is not. It's not a barter system. I once heard a little boy pray. This wasn't my son, before I tell you this story. I was lucky enough to be with him. It was near Christmas. Can you imagine the prayer he had? I can't remember the exact toy, but it went something like this. "Lord, if you give me the Lego, I'll stop being cheeky." A kind of holy barter system. That is not what prayer is like at all. Or a barter system that, as adults, if we're realistic, goes like this. "Lord, I've prayed for the world. I've prayed for the community. I've prayed for the church. I've prayed for my friends. Yes, Lord, I've actually done it this time. I've even prayed for my enemies. But now, Lord, now in this time of prayer, we come to my me prayers, because I deserve some prayer." You ever done that? That's not how prayer is at all. Prayer is intimate and personal communication between the Creator and the created. Communication that requires us to spend less time talking and more time listening. Are you good at listening in prayer? I wonder how many of us are. I tried it this morning. I woke up early. I went downstairs. I knew. On the TV recordings was this amazing game, West Ham versus Brighton yesterday. Okay. I knew Brighton were 3-1 down and they came back to 3-all, and I was itching to watch it. And I sat down and I thought, "Lord, I'm going to give you the time first. I'm going to give you this hour. It's an important day in the life of the church, Lord. I'm going to give you an hour in prayer." How many, who wants to guess how long I lasted? Go on then, Gillian. 5 minutes. Any offers on this? Is a bit like 10. Any more? 20. You said 20? Less? 20. Less? 2. Who said 2? Actually, about 11 minutes, I think, okay? 11 minutes when, "Lord, I'm going to give you this hour in prayer." Before 11 minutes were up, and I thought, I wonder if Richard's awake yet. In fact, since you're above my head, I actually didn't quite say that. I actually thought, hold on a minute, he was in bed when we came in last night. I've not heard him. Is he alive? Was my kind of exact thought. 11 minutes before something of the world broke into my prayer. this communication with God. And let me tell you something really important about this morning. That was 11 minutes, and I went like this. I went, sorry, Lord. So by minute 12, we're back praying. See, here's the deal. If I take an hour and I say I'm going to spend an hour in prayer, I'm going to be fervent. You may be better than me, but I only probably get 11 minutes in before I'm thinking, sorry, Lord. But prayer is not like that. If I had taken my 11 minutes and just shut up, God would have had his way and spoken. Tonight is about prayer and waiting. It's not just about the fact that we're going to fill an hour with prayer. Although if that happens, praise be, it's about the fact we're going to listen to what God has to say. Communication with God in prayer requires us, doesn't it, to give him more praise, more worship, more intercession than kind of barking out my requests. This was the reason, surely, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. They wanted to know how to pray. So Jesus tells them that prayer is more than making requests of God. He teaches them there's a pattern to follow about praying to the Father. And after teaching them that pattern that we now know as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also teaches them that persistence in this newly established prayer life is important. See, the reality is, after 11 minutes, I could have gone, I'm giving up, couldn't I? But actually, it's a bit like, well, Lorraine, I've got to confess now, sorry, Lorraine. Lorraine was the hard parent of the two of us. And actually, I was the only one in the family that knew how to ride a bike. So I was trying to teach my son to ride a bike, but it's hard, isn't it? He might fall off. Well, he did fall off, and I was all for him giving up. It was Lorraine that said, put him back on the bike and let him try again. That's exactly how you learn to ride a bike, isn't it? Incidentally, Lorraine could not ride a bike at that stage, just to let you know. But me and Chris did teach you, didn't we, Lorraine? In reality, that's how we learn to ride a bike. Why do we think, therefore, that if we set aside a time for God, that after 3 or 4 minutes something comes and interrupts, we've ruined the whole time with God? Why not just get back on the bike and keep praying? And that's how my hour went on. Prayer and brokenness, but nonetheless, prayer. A persistence. And I found myself doing something at the end, which I'd written in the week and not really realized I was doing this morning. It started off with this sense of broken prayer, and it finished that hour with a sense of me declaring the reality of, Lord, thy kingdom come here this morning. Thy will be done. And even use me. Persistence in prayer is persistence in declaring in prayer, we seek God's kingdom first. Thy kingdom come stuff. It isn't supposed to be a random, haphazard act of religiosity, repeating the steps of prayer, but using the pattern of prayer as a way of developing a deeper relationship with the Father. And Jesus then tells them the parable of a persistent traveller. Jesus wanted his disciples, indeed wants us, to have a boldness and a persistent attitude in prayer. I wonder, friends, do we have that boldness and persistence here? I wonder. And why does he tell them, pray boldly and persistently? I think it's because he reminds his disciples with that parable that boldness in prayer is an exercise needed to overcome the praying person's apathy. Not God's perceived insensitivity. I wonder what would happen if in through the door burst the police and arrested the pastor this morning. What would you do? Now, in a previous talk we had, I already told you that I thought probably the outcome would be you'd look for a new pastor. Because after all, you wouldn't want a jailbird, would you? I wouldn't pass the MinRec committee like that, would I? But in reality, actually, my heartfelt prayer is that you get down on your knees and you'd persist in prayer and persist until the Lord moved. God is in the middle of our prayers, friend. Prayer, friends, practicing prayer persistently changes our hearts and minds. The prayer learns that when we pray, what changes first is us. Have you ever noticed that in prayer? When we pray, what changes first and foremost is us. Bless you, Pauline, we're about that'd be cool, I think. Yeah. Thank you. And I've noticed that in my own life, you know. The more I got involved in prayer, the more that changed was me. I was the one that the Lord worked on first. And then it was kind of like as if when he worked on me, what then happened was the way I understood what he wanted changes, I was able to express intensely what God was asking me to do. And then, guess what? Things happened. So to give a real life example in my own ministry, and I pray this happens to you as part of college, and to encourage college as well. And Tim, who's sitting behind him, because he actually marked my NAM essay for this. Thank you, Tim, for passing me. I did a NAM essay on Jehovah's Witnesses, Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses. And I kind of had some running with a couple of these Jehovah's Witnesses to pique my interest. And so I did this essay thinking that would be a wonderful way of getting across 1 year of my NAM studies. Do you know what God did? He then sent more Jehovah's Witnesses to our door as a church. And praise be, the church we come from now has some ex-practicing Jehovah's Witnesses that have become Christian. See, God changed me first in order that God, through prayer, could change them. Do you see how that works? But he had to change me. He had to challenge me. And that was through one essay. I pray that there are essays you do at college, my friend, that have equally as powerful a change on your life. God changes in order that we may pray his will and he may change the world. That's really cool. So tonight I'm inviting you along to this prayer and waiting meeting to be changed. Fancy that? Come on, God, let's do it. And one other thing prayer isn't, okay? Praying persistently does not mean we as believers are trying to get a reluctant God to change his mind to answer our prayer. But we actually show him we're serious. The first of those Jehovah's Witnesses came to church. And actually she was addicted to drugs too. And I remember being on my knees in the study at home going, where, Lord, do I start? What do I do? I have no idea. And then I remembered, as part of my studies, I read this bit that said, what you've got to do is love them. But that's the key. Love. It's the one thing they can't escape. Okay, I'll love, Lord. How do I love? What do I do? What happened was this lady kept coming back and knocking on our door. And every time she did, we'd empty the food cupboard and give it to her. Until eventually, one day she knocked and she said, before you give me food, because she knew he would, why are you doing it? Ah, because Jesus loves you. He, what? And then we're off. Answers to prayer happen, and we begin to see at that point just how amazing prayer actually is. And I want to encourage you. Do you want to see amazing prayers answered here? Then get down on your knees with me and let's pray persistently. I love stories. You know I'm a story person. We're going to finish in a minute, but before we do, so Richard, you really have been an answer to prayer, right? Before we do, I just want to share this story with you and some thoughts about it. There's a priest, his name is Foster, he's Father Foster, and he lives in Dublin. And he tells about the day when he parked his car on a rather steep slope. It was close to his church. He got a little terrier dog, and the terrier dog was lying on the back seat, sort of tucked out of view. Now he knew he'd only be a minute or two going into church and picking up whatever he got to pick up and coming back out. So he decided to leave the terrier in the car. As he turned away from the car, he locked it up and he commanded the dog, "Stay," he shouted loudly. What he didn't realise was that by the side of the road there was an elderly man who was watching him, who came across the road with a quite bemused look. And he went up to the priest in a rather gentle way and he said, "Father, I have a question." And the priest said, "What's the question?" And he said, "Why don't you simply put the handbrake on?" Because to someone who doesn't believe in prayer, in the power of prayer, prayer is a bit like parking on a steep hill, getting out and not putting the handbrake on, and simply expecting the car to stay where it is. As if, despite all the laws of gravity, the car would stay where it was. Now, friends, I want to assure you, he had put the handbrake on. The terrier was not harmed in any way, shape, or form. But can you see what I mean? The reality is, friends, why do some of us not believe in the power of prayer? Some of us pray. Why? Because Paul the minister, Richard the minister, tells us to pray. Well, I want to suggest no. Some of us might say, well, we pray because Jesus expects us to do it. But in reality, we're not sure prayer works. Do you remember those prayers this morning for the persecuted church, for those that are affected and in contact with and known to Open Doors? Do you remember what they didn't ask for? They didn't ask that the persecuted church would not be persecuted. But they did ask that God would change the circumstances. And friends, I want to declare, in case you hadn't realized it, that God has already answered those prayers. He will change circumstances to his glory and honor. That's what Jill and me have had many a discussion about, that God answers prayers for the persecuted church. The reality is, he will do it time and time and time again. And your prayers this morning were that powerful that God's already answered them. Can you see how praying powerfully works, friends? Now, friends, to be clear, I want to say prayer is the most powerful, most reliable force in the world today. Richard, in case you hadn't realized it, this is telling you that in coming here, we are going to pray powerfully together. And friends, let me also be clear, I know that prayer alters the reality of individual lives. How do I know it? He altered mine. And it is true that if you have known me as a teenager, you would have definitely walked the other side of the street through fear of me hitting you or robbing you. The truth is, Jesus changes lives, and I know because he changed mine. The truth is, Jesus changes atmospheres in churches. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And if you don't, keep praying, friends, we'll all get there. The truth is, prayer reforms communities and transforms the world. And frankly, I'm not prepared to stop praying, Lord, until you've done so. Because you promised you would. Or, brackets, till you come again. Close brackets. And not only do I know that, but Jesus knew it too. That's how come he prayed. In that amazing Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Wow. And just to prove that he meant it, Jesus lived his life by it. In fact, Luke 22:24, just before he goes to the cross, says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." Bearing in mind, you knew this was death. "Yet not my will, but yours be done." How powerful is that when we have an example of a man that lived his life by that? The point of prayer is not that we ask God for what he wants to give. The point is that we search out his will. To knock on the door, we should ask, seek, and knock, which means we should risk. Richard, we're going to end this, but just to say, it is an absolute pleasure. I know I've used you as an example. As I say to Lorraine, we'll get used to it, my friend, I do promise. I want to say it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you among us today, to welcome your amazing family too. To affirm that we believe that God has asked us to be part of how he wants to shape your ministry. And whilst I will not ask Richard openly, I strongly suspect that a year ago, when he was thinking about training for the ministry, Minehead was not number one on his list of destinations. In fact, I suspect, guys, as a family, some of you probably had to go on Google Earth or Google Maps and find out where Minehead was. I'm fairly sure many of us here had to wonder where Warrington was too. I'm sure, Mum, you think it's a long way from Warrington to Minehead, correct? Couldn't the Lord have called him closer? And when his dad and his brother drive down next Saturday with all his stuff in a transit van, and yes, gentlemen, this is a plea for you to help us move some furniture. When next Saturday that he makes that trip, you'll be halfway down the M5 and thinking, what on earth? But there again, if we're being honest, maybe when we started as a church seeking the Lord's way for the future shape of the ministry here, we didn't think we'd get someone so wonderfully handsome. Or did I mean tall? That we would end up, this is an actual fact about this church, with two workers, a children's worker and a minister in training, who are both one of a triplet. Which is just hell. Someone said to me in the week, what are the odds of that? Well, to be honest, I don't know, and I'm not sure. But I know they must be long. Or we didn't think you would come so quickly, Richard. Richard, however daunting this may sound, I just want you to know that with all that we've just said, you are an answer to the prayers of this church. And that we too join you in simply knowing that God has called you here. And Richard, whether you like it or not, we are the answers to your prayer. Prayer that the Lord has answered for us all when we both simply said to our Lord, thy will be done. You are kind of a living embodiment this morning of the power of prayer among us. I love the Lord, and I know he answers prayer, and I pray that you too will learn the power of it. What about that persistence? Well, friends, have faith. I don't know the better definition of this, the faith, than this to finish with. It's like a little girl who crawls up onto her father's lap while he's reading the newspaper. She told him that she wanted him to build a doll's house. He didn't really want her to interrupt his newspaper reading, so he said to her, yeah, sure, and put her down by his side and went back to reading the newspaper. Mainly distracted because, frankly, he'd gotten a really good article about how Brighton are going to stay up this year in the Premiership. He forgot about the promise he'd made until one day he walks into her room late one night, just as she's about to go to sleep, and saw all her dolls and doll furniture packed up to move into the new doll's house. When he asked her about it, she said this. She told him that she knew he would be building it, even though he hadn't begun it yet, because he had promised that he would. That was good enough for her. That's a better definition of faith, I don't know. Faith in prayer. God has promised to heed our prayers. They will not go unanswered. Amen to that. Today we celebrate the prayer that Jesus shared with us. He promises to hear us and to answer. So we're going to finish this time and go into a time when we welcome you, my friend, by asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you answer prayers. We pray that you would give us persistence in prayer, to constantly, persistently seek your will. To make our prayers, Lord, not our will be done, but thy will be done. And as we earnestly seek you, Lord, we pray that we may see answered prayer, not so that we would be glorified and honored, but so that, Lord, we can declare, this is our Lord, and you would be glorified and honored. We thank you, Lord, that we can ask, seek, and knock. And Jesus, in his own words in Scripture, reminds us that our prayers do not fall on deaf ears, but rather are heard by an attentive Father who longs to respond. This morning, Father, I pray that as we, together with Richard, start a new journey of our life together, that you would take the highest honor, that Jesus would be praised. Move by your Spirit. Come, embolden us in prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've gathered to induct Richard as a minister in training to work here within the community of Christ at Minehead Baptist Church. We come to affirm our belief that this church and minister have explored the possibilities of life together here in Minehead, that we've been brought to this mutual commitment through the movement and the calling and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. Today, we come to witness the covenant which this church and this minister are making with each other, to learn from each other, to partner with each other, to disciple each other, to walk together as people of Christ. But we don't come to this point in isolation. We come to this moment by a journey through seeking God through prayer. So it would be good to hear that journey expressed this morning. So I'm going to invite Martin, if he'll come and share with us just for a couple of 3 minutes about why we as a church feel Richard is called to be among us.
Why are we here? Why is it that we're here welcoming Richard and having his family with us as well? As Paul's been saying, it's been a journey of prayer. For all of us, the whole church has been joined in this. It started with an away day for the leadership team back in March, I think it was. And that led to a vision evening for the whole church. And the growing feeling was that we would invite a minister in training to help us, to help Paul, to help us all in the work and the ministry of the church here. And that led to discussions with the Baptist College. Great to have Tim with us this morning, Richard's tutor. And really from that, just one person really, I suppose, emerged. It wasn't as if we had six, I believe, but we had one person. And that person is with us this morning. How God moves clearly, and you might even say helpfully. He made it easy for us. We'd prayed and he made it easy for us. And so we had these discussions, and resulting in that this morning, we've invited Richard. He accepted. Took a bit of time, we believe, but we believe that was because Rich is a man of prayer too, and he was praying with us, and so we are here this morning. Three things really stand out for me regarding Richard. I didn't say, but one of the things we really felt the need of in this church as we prayed was the need for help with the pastoral care of the church, how important that is. We believe, and I think it's been affirmed by the college and by Rich's own witness, testimony, that he wants to be involved in the pastoral care of the church. There are many other things that he's going to be involved in, we know that. But that's one of the things. And that really resonated with us, I believe. Secondly, I believe when Richard came and preached with us back in November, I really appreciated, Richard, what you said that day. It's a great passage he chose. It's interesting. He said that he often feels called to read from the Acts of the Apostles. And I think Acts chapter 4 is set as a place where I think, as a church, we want to put ourselves. Read chapter 4. Let's put ourselves in that position of waiting praying and waiting, and wait for God to move. Signs and wonders, glorious things happened. 2,000 were added, and all that sort of thing. And I believe Acts 4 is a great place for us to start together with Richard. Two things he said which struck me. Let's make the church normal. Let's make church life normal. Do you remember that? Let's be those who willingly, easily talk about Jesus in our conversations with other people. But thirdly, above all else, it's interesting, I feel, that Richard didn't want to go anywhere else. There weren't 6 or 7 other churches he could have gone to. I believe there were 3 or 4, weren't there, Richard? But he only wanted to come to Minehead. And he reiterated that time and time again in our conversations together. Truly, God has blessed us. And I believe, as we pray this morning, that God's going to bless us together in this journey that we're going to work through together, step by step. And our prayers are that not only will Richard be blessed as he matures and as he goes through this whole process of training, but also we will grow as a church together in love for one another. And I believe also in our witness to those around. I think that's what we want to see more of, that this church, in our unity together, it makes an impact on this town, this area of Minehead, for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you.
Before we hear from Richard himself, as Martin said, this is about a kind of agreement between three parties about Richard's formation, and an important part of that is the college where Richard is already studying. Now I do promise you, Richard, Tim's not going to come and say, this is your percentages of your essays. but in reality, going to come and share with us a bit why the college is allocating, why the college feel that Richard is a good placement for Minehead, and why we're a good place for him to study as well.
Great. Exciting, isn't it? Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here this morning to represent the college community. I really pick up that theme that today is part of that journey that has been recognition of your gifting, Richard, at a local church level, the Ministerial Recognition Committee level, and also Minehead Baptist Church level. And we're part of that too. And following the example of Jesus, you don't get locked in a classroom for 3 years and learn it all and then suddenly go and do it. It's very much, we see ministerial formation as happening here in the local church, the local community, the things that Richard will be doing. But it's good, and I've only been doing this job for 4 years, but it really seems to make sense to me that for 2 days a week, you go and then spend time really thinking about what you're doing. So from the college side, we will be teaching some of those skills and gifts that we believe that ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ need in this day and age. It's a crazy culture we're in, isn't it? But in that culture that God loves so much, we want to be teaching, Richard, he's already on the journey here, some biblical studies, because you've got to be a minister of the word to know Old and New Testament. To know doctrine, to know the key evangelical doctrines of the faith that will stand you in good stead. To know how to try and communicate that stuff into a modern 21st century culture. To know about church history and what God's done in the past, and praying as you're praying that God would do it again in this day. And just as a quick aside, I, part of my research, and picked up that God's movement in Somerset, particularly in the 1800s, and what did it come about? Through groups of people praying. So there's an encouragement for you as well. But also that pastoral care. Richard will have a chance to think through lots of the complex issues of our day and age. And how do we address that? So Richard, God bless you from the college side. We'll stick in with you as well. Pray for you. And we're thrilled that God's brought you and Minehead Baptist Church together on such a day as this. Thank you.
So we've kind of heard two-thirds of the journey, two-thirds of the story, but there's an important piece missing, Richard. It is for yourself. Can I invite you to come and share with us, I guess, a bit of your side of the story, and why Minehead when you're so northern?
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. So I suppose it starts a few years ago. I felt called to ministry in, I think, 2016, so it's a while ago. And then as we journeyed and went through, and I join the leadership of my home church in Warrington. We moved forward and I decided that Bristol Baptist College was where I wanted to study because they are lovely people, really.
Really?
Really, yeah, most of the time. It was then a case of finding a church placement. So then we came to that. So I was in work one day and got an email from Paul saying, we'd love to chat. I'd love to chat and have a, find out a bit more about you and what we think of you. So we had a chat, and I think a few chats, some quite lengthy ones. And then I ended up coming down here in, I think it was June last year. I didn't check my diary, but June last. And I'm now prepared for the M5 traffic. That's one thing I will say. I sat for 3 hours on the motorway on one of the hottest days of the year. So if I can deal with that, I must really want to come here. And then I progressed and I visited another church. And I decided that wasn't where I was being called to. So then I phoned Paul and said, I really do feel I'm being called to Minehead. And I prayed about it, and it really was where I felt being called to. So then I started college in September, and then came to preach here in November, which was a very affirming experience. I got to meet some more of you in different settings and meet the youth. And it really did feel like I could call it home. So then, Paul, you had your church meeting on the Tuesday evening, I think, and Paul phoned on the Wednesday morning as we were on our college coach trip to London. It did feel very much like a school trip. We may all be adults. And so we've progressed from there and just carried on. And now here we are as I stand here today. And throughout all that time, I have continued to pray about where I was being called to. And it was truly here that I feel I've been called. And I'm really looking forward to starting.
Just to encourage you, dear church, you remember we had no accommodation for Richard a while ago. Lord, where do we kind of put this man in the nicest sense? I remember at our church meeting we talked about the fact there were some places that were just, well, actually they didn't seem to honour the calling to the ministry. But there was one place, do you remember the church meeting we talked about this one place, which actually we can now tell you is in Selborne Place, which is literally about 5 minutes walk up the road. But there was this one place which seemed to honour, but there were problems. They got people going after this property and actually it didn't seem possible. Remember the prayer, anything's possible under God. Well, God has cleared the way, and actually, Richard, it looks like that's going to become Richard's home this week. So friends, we've gone from a position of not knowing to a position of certainty, not because of man, but because of God. And so, my friend, it's really amazing that you are among us. And so the last bit of this says God is still going to do more amazing things too. Friends, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want to ask you to join with me. Because today we stand with each other, don't we? Recognising the Christ in our midst, affirming our faith in God, who loves with a love that transforms us, who calls us to work together for a transformed world. Today, therefore, we stand with each other, recognising the Christ in each other, affirming the calling of the Holy Spirit, who has brought us together to this day. So we're going to affirm, as family church together, the reality of Richard's calling among us. Some words are going to be on the screen. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favour. I've just used the word stand a lot. So actually, I'm going to ask the church you to do one act for me so this man sees the reality of it. If you believe, under God, that Christ is affirming Richard to be our minister in training. Can I ask you to stand? It is an act, Richard, that says we are with you. Do you, Minehead Baptist Church family, welcome our brother Richard as a minister in training in the service of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Will you support and encourage him in his ministry? Richard, we ask you to affirm in a different way that calling of God.
Today I bring myself and the gifts I have, and I covenant to serve and encourage this church and community, to respect and care for you, to pray for you, to journey with you, to take responsibility among you, to seek God with you, to listen to God in you, and to work with you to be Christ in this world.
Friends, we're going to make a similar kind of recognition to Richard. So we say together, today we bring ourselves and the gifts we have, we covenant to serve and encourage this church and community, to respect and care for each other, to pray for each other, to take responsibility for the people we are and the people we hope to be in Christ, and to encourage you as our minister in training to make this journey together. Friends, please be seated. Let's pray. What kind of people does Christ call us to be? We're called to be a prophetic people, working for justice, resisting violence, and challenging the abuse of power. We're called to be an inclusive people, putting down the walls of prejudice, welcoming the stranger. We're called to be a sacrificial people, risking uncertainty, becoming vulnerable, and reflecting the generosity of God. We're called to be a worshipping people, seeking and celebrating the God who journeys with us, open to the Spirit in the whole of life. God of life, you call us and envision us. We give ourselves today to each other and to you, trusting that as you call us, so you covenant to share this journey with us, to nurture and sustain our life together, and to guide our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard, the way we'd like to welcome you, to induct you as our minister in training, is to pray for you and to lay hands on you in prayer. Now, my friend, it could get rather crowded up here, so I'm going to invite you, if you were to go down and just stand down there, and to say, dear church, if you want to pray for Richard, to come and lay your hands on him. I should have checked. You don't mind that? You're okay with that? Too bad. If you'd like to come and pray for him, to lay your hands on him, to minister to him, can I invite you to come? And I'm going to invite his family to do so as well, if they'd like to. And just to pray for Richard, please, friends, if God wants you to come and pray, please come and pray. Father God, we bring Richard before you this morning, acknowledging that it is not us that calls, but rather you call. Acknowledging the reality that he has been called to train in the ministry among us. Acknowledging the reality that we are part of his formation to be the minister in Christ he was always meant to be. Acknowledging, Lord, that we are in partnership with him and with the college, Lord. Acknowledging before you that he is the man of God that you have called to this place for this time. Acknowledging, Lord, that you who are the Lord of all and the King of kings are his. You are the one that calls, and we are the ones that respond. We acknowledge, Lord, the need to support our brother, to uphold him in prayer, and to bring him before you, so that, Lord, together we may minister in this place. We pray for him by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard, the covenant God bind you in grace and love. The faithful God keep you faithful through all things. And the God of hope and peace sustain you in the way of Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen. We're going to do a couple of things now. Mark's going to come and do something amazing. I love it when our youngsters are involved in this way. But Richard, you've been called by God to serve him in this congregation. May God bless you as you share in the ministry of Jesus Christ in all your words and deeds. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Friend, welcome. I offer you the handshake of fellowship. Bless you.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.